Tonight's shiur in Parashas Mishpatim, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Louis Nishpas, Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Sedra starts out, Be'le Mishpatim Shet Asim Lichnehem, Kisikne Eved Ivri, Sheshamim Yavod. The question is asked, what's pshat when someone buys an Eved Ivri? You don't buy an Eved Ivri. You buy, should have said, when one buys a Ivri Le'Eved. You buy a Yid and to become an Eved. You don't buy a slave. Yid's not a slave. You buy the Yid and then you make him into a slave or whatever. So it should have said, Ki Sikne Ivri Le'Eved. So the Ritzbah says that no, you are buying an Eved. Why? Because every Yid is an Eved L'Shem. And therefore, you are actually buying an Eved L'Shem and making him into an Eved as well. You're Eved. What's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is that since you are buying it from the first owner, Hashem, who he was the first working for initially, so therefore, you have to allow the Eved, which is the Halacha, of course, keep all the mitzvahs. And Eved Ivri is chayv in all the mitzvahs. Because Hashem's shtar came before. And therefore you have to allow him. So therefore that's a pshat, ki sikne Eved Ivri. You're buying an Eved, Hashem, as your slave. And therefore, nafkamin, like we said, you have to allow him to do the mitzvahs. Okay. It says he works for 6 years, etc. And afterwards, he can choose to stay on and become a nirtza. You bring him to the door and you put you knock a hole in his ear. Vigishu al Adonav el halohim, vigishu al adelas olam uzuzah, etc. So Rashi brings down a chazal, famous chazal. Ma ra'a ozen li ratzem mikol shari varim shebeguf. Why dafka, when he wants to stay on, do you put a hole in his ear and not in another one of his limbs? So Amar Yochem en Zakai ozen shehazo seshama al har Sinai lo signov v'halach v'ganav teretzea. So this was the ear that heard at har Sinai that you shouldn't steal, and here this guy went and he stole. And therefore, since it was the ozen that heard, that's the aver that we put the hole into. So the Chiddush Arim says, what was the problem with this guy? The problem is, yeah, it was Ozen Shema, he heard, don't steal, but he heard it with his ear, not with his heart. A person has to internalize, not just listen, you have to hear. Has to internalize what you're listening to. That was his problem. Say, there's a Chazal, says, Hai Alma Das Linen Mine Kibehi Lule Damit. Chatof v'achol, chatof v'shtei. Says this world that we eventually leave from is likened to a chasana. So chatof means chap, grab and eat, grab and drink, grab all you can. So there's all kinds of drushes. How is this world exactly like that of a chasana? Agav reminds me of the story I once heard. I think from Yaakov Galinsky, Shlita. So he was a bacher in Europe, in the Vardak. And once the altarman in the Vardak wanted to give him a little bit of mussar, and he told him to go late at night to the shul in the Vardak. So he couldn't understand, what am I going to do in the shul? He goes, just go to the shul. Just go to the shul. You'll get your lesson in mussar. Just go to the shul. Understand, there's no minyan there late at night. But he said, okay, Rosh Yeshiva told me. So he said, I made my way to the shul, and dark, of course, all lights are, nothing, you know, it's like midnight. So he says, I open the door, you know, go in, you know, of course, no, not a soul, quiet. Then all of a sudden, I hear this voice. I hear this voice saying this Maimer Chazal. Right? That Hai Alma Das Linen Mine. Is the kibehi lule dami? It's like a chasna, chatof v'achol, chatof v'shtei. And this voice kept saying it over and over and over. The same line. This world's like a chasna, chatof v'achol, grab and eat, grab and drink. Coming over and over and over and over, nonstop. Like it was like sitting there for like a half hour, and nonstop. It's like, what's going on? Who is this? So he got a little bit closer and he snapped a look at it. Who was this person standing there for hours just saying over and over again this Maamar Chazal? So that was the stipler. That was his lesson in Musa right there. So some say how is this world like a chasana? It says that what's the difference between a chasana and a restaurant? So a restaurant, the person goes in, and he's the balabas. He sits down, I'll have the first course, please. Fine, the waiter gives the first course, puts it down, you eat, good. Said, yes, sir, are you ready for the next course? Yes, bring on the soup. Bring the soup, wait till you finish the soup. Everything's in order. Says, and the chasana is not always like that, as we know. Right, so you're sitting down for your first course, your bereka, whatever, take your first spoonful, and all of a sudden, okay, the chasna kala here, so you ran out, and I'll jump around, you know, the chasna kala, finally they finish, you go back to your seat, bereka's gone. You know, then they serve the main course, again, oh, another dance, you're jumping up, whatever, come back down, your main course is schnitzel's gone. What's going on over here? So that's the difference, right? So this world's like a chasna. You have to chop while you can. However, the Tami Minhagim, he says that he makes the following comparison. How is this world like a chasna? Says that, imagine, you know, chasna, a lot of preparation that comes and go involved. You know, you have to, first of course, hire the hall and the caterer, and then there's the band and the photographer, the videographer, the invitation, etc., the whole thing. So imagine a person spends months, you know, arranging everything, so everything perfect, whatever. And then finally, he says, you come to the chasana, right, everything's in order, the band's on, the bandstand, you know, the food, the caterer, everything's good. Everything's going great. There's only one small thing that you forgot. What is that? The ring. Forgot the ring, there's no chasana. With all the band, with all the thing, with all the caterer, with no ring, there's no chasana. Without the ring, there's no kedushin. So too, he says, that life is like a chasana. Why? Because people put so much effort, parnasa, and dira, and children, and schools, and this, and that, make everything, sure everything's going good, and straight, and whatever. But you're forgetting the ring. You're forgetting the Torah and mitzvahs. The main thing, why we're here for. Of Yosef Rojan, the Rogachover, says to say, they get a step further. Okay, fine, even when a person does the mitzvahs, but how do you do the mitzvahs? So he says, if a person, a chasen, comes up to the kala under the chuppah and says, Hareyat mekudeshes betabadzu kemoshev Yisrael. Forgot one word, li. It's Hareyat mekudeshes betabadzu. He didn't say mekudeshes li betabadzu. Good kedushin? No. Why? You need the li. If it's not to you, it's not a good kedushin. So too, you can do the mitzvahs, but if it's not, don't bring it to your heart, like we said. Just randomly do the mitzvahs here and there. You're missing the point. That's not what Hashem wants. There's a Magi Midubno on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ki lo dibarti esav aseichem v'lo tzivisi b'yom ha'tzi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim al divrei olav ezavach. The Hashem says, he's castigating Klal Yisrael, says, I never commanded them to bring any korbanos when I took them out of Egypt, etc. So he asks, okay, it's true, there was no direct commandment to, you know, bring korbanos when they came out of Egypt, the day they came out of Egypt, but it was shortly afterwards. What do you mean Hashem says, I don't want their korbanos, I never commanded them? He did, eventually, a few weeks later, at Har Sinai, you know, we have the Chumash, all the Sefer Vayikra, after Sefer Midmar is korbanos. So what do you mean Hashem says, I didn't command any korbanos? So he answers, he usually does with the following mashal. Says there was once a guy that wanted to have his house built. Okay, so nice two-story home, you know, number of rooms, bedrooms, etc. So he approached this kablan, and he wanted a price estimate. So he gave him a cheap price, you know, I don't know, $20,000. So he goes, what, that's it? He says, yeah. He says, you make for the house? He goes, yeah, no problem. So he goes, great. So makes a deal. Goes home and tells his friends, you know, I got this great deal, this contractor, $20,000, I have a house. He goes, what? It can't be. He said, did you discuss with him exactly, you know, the technical details, exactly what he's going to, you know, supplies, what he's going to use or whatever? He said, no. You mean you didn't, you know, no, what do you mean? So, the guy I'm going to give you like third grade things, rusty pipes, old things, second grade. I mean, it's going to be a piece of probably junk, you know, for that price. He said, if I were you, I'd go straight to the guy and make a, you know, sign of paper with everything exactly what he's going to use and then make it clear, you know. So he says, okay, thanks for the advice. He goes back to the contractor. He goes, listen, I want to write down exactly all the things, what you're going to use, all the things. He goes, no problem, no problem. Let's sit down right now. So they write down, we're going to use grade A bricks, and we're going to use these fancy ceramic tiles, and the faucets are going to be, you know, brass, and everything. And they, yeah, no problem. He writes everything down, and the countertops are pure marble, and everything. Okay, he says, sign, yeah, sign here, great. So the contractor says, okay, now what about the money? When do I get my money? So the Balabai says, yeah, you give me the key, the house, and I'll give you the money. He says, fine, fair enough. 3 days later, the Balabai, whatever, the guy that went to bought the house, gets a knock on the door. He opens the door. The contractor, he says, yeah, what are you doing here? He waves the key in his eyes. He says, here, the key, now I can have my money. He goes, the key? He says, how could that be? He says, what? You said I get the key, I get the money. He says, yeah, but it's been 3 days. I was trying to how you did everything on the contract there, like in the 3 days? He goes, yeah, 100%. He says, oh, I can't believe it. He says, yeah, come with me. I'll show you. I'll take you to the site. He says, this is great. So he hops in his car, takes him to the site, and he pulls up and doesn't really see his house there, but he gets out of the car. Goes, he goes, he says, see over here? See? These are the bricks you ordered. Right? Old pile of bricks, you know, grade A. You can see grade A. Here, see the brass piping is right over here. And the tiling, see piles of tiles over here. And here you go. So, and then here's the key and the lock. And I have my money. So he goes, I didn't want the, I wanted a house, not these, that's what I signed for. Says the Magen Midun, no, same thing. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yeah, it's true. He came out of Egypt, etc. I asked for Korbanos. But I wanted you to be an Eved Hashem. And how do you, what does that mean? How do you become an Eved Hashem? Yes, there's Korbanos, there's Yom Kippur, there's Shabbos, there's Torah, there's all these things. But that doesn't mean, okay, Hashem, here's your Torah, here's your Shabbos, here's your thing. Not a bunch of details. Don't throw the details at me. You have to put it together. You have to be an Eved Hashem. It has to come from the heart. It has to be, you know, you have to do the Ratzon Hashem, not just a bunch of details. He says, that's what Navi was saying. Yes, he commanded the Korbanos, but not just bring this, do this. He wants it with the heart. So too, as the Kedushe Arim said, that the person heard at Har Sinai, but is missing the heart. And the pasuk says, "Ki gnov ish," if a person steals animal from somebody, the pasuk, yeah. Says the kivnov ishor osel tvacho machoro. He takes it in the shore, the ox or the sheep, and he shechs it or sells it. And he has to pay back Hamishabakar Yeshalem 5 times for the ox and 4 times for the sheep. So once again, a famous Rashi. Where do we get the 4 and 5 times? So Rashi says, Amar Rabbi Yochion ben Zakkai, Chas HaMakom Al Kvodam Shel Brios. We see here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rechmanes on people. The shore that these ganav stole by just, you know, taking it on by the leash or whatever, he doesn't have to schlep it on his shoulders and be embarrassed. So therefore, he has to pay 5. But a sesh, no, so al ktefo, he had to put on his shoulders when he's running away, therefore he pays only four times. Hoyo minit mazebo. Since he was, embarrassed having to schlep this sheep on his shoulders in the street, so he doesn't have to pay back 5, only have to pay back 4 if he shechs it or sells it. So the Sava Mikelm is to say, he says, listen, see this? Kadosh Baruch Hu is having rachmanis on this guy. He did an Aveira, right? He's a ganav. And yet, since he was embarrassed, so Hashem says, no, the guy's embarrassed, so take away a little bit of his onesh. So he says, if a person is embarrassed doing a Aveira, and again, Hashem gives him a break, can you imagine if somebody's embarrassed doing a mitzvah, how much schar he's going to get? If he's doing something good, something Hashem wants, he's doing a mitzvah. And if he's embarrassed, he's doing it, it's uncomfortable, whatever, he's doing it anyways, even though it's embarrassing sometimes. So all the more so, how much schar this person's going to get. Reminds me once of a bachar I knew, many years ago, I was in yeshiva, and he was a Baal Tshuva. And he once told me that he said, when you know, I was just, you know, green, you know, this week coming, you know, from. And so I started, you know, putting on tefillin every day, whatever. But once I was traveling on the plane, you know, to Israel, whatever, and I had to put on tefillin. But I was embarrassed, you know, when we stand there putting on my tefillin, everybody look at me or whatever. I was very uncomfortable. So I said, oh, so what did you do? You didn't daven? He said, no, I davened. He says, but why? How could you, you know, weren't you embarrassed? He says, no, I davened in the bathroom. So the person has to overcome his embarrassment. Anyways, the famous question that is asked over here is, what's pshat? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, it's nice to you, you know, Hashem has Rachmanas on this Gana, but why is Hashem having Rachmanas on this Gana? I mean, oh, you know, because he's carrying this thing, the sheep on his shoulder, it's embarrassing. Who told you to steal, Bechla? You know, oh, he's embarrassed. Look, he's walking with it. Okay, so don't steal. We're giving you a break. You don't have to pay so much because you're embarrassed. Who told you to steal? So, Rabbi Yehuda Yosefi, so he says, where would we ever see such a din like this? It doesn't seem to make any sense. You know, when we see such a din like this, have Rachmanis on the Gana. He says, well, what kind of judge would have Rachmanis on the Gana? He says, very simple. The answer is, if the judge is the father of the Ganav. The father, okay, it's his son. So, okay, he's embarrassed. I can't, you know, my own son, you know, okay, he's the Ganav. But my poor son is embarrassed. So, yeah, give him a break. So, if the judge is the father, he'll have Rahmanas on the son. So too, who's making these laws? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is our father. So, Mele, a father will have Rahmanas on his son who's the Ganav. Okay. It says in the Pasuk, Kaf Beis Beis, talks about also about the Ganav, Yimachter Yimatzei HaGanav, says that Yimzarchal Avshem HaShalav Dam, Yimshalem Shalem, Yimein Lo V'Nikar B'Negvasa, that he has to pay this, the Kefel if he's a Ganav, and if he doesn't have, then Yimein Lo V'Nikar B'Negvasa, he gets sold. As we saw at the beginning of the Seder, sold as an Eved Ivri. So the Chafetz Chaim made the following observation. He says, this guy stole, okay, and he doesn't have what to pay. Ain't law, right? He doesn't have what to pay. So he owes the guy the money. So what's the din? What do we say? Slave, you don't have. Nimkar bin nevasoi, because sold us in heaven. So says the Chafetz Chaim, what do we see from here? We see from here, it's better to be a slave than to be a balchov, than to owe money. That's what's going on over here. He owes the guy money. He stole. So what do we say? Okay, so you owe the guy. No, better to be a slave, nimkar v'nivaso, than to owe the guy money, to be a balcho. It's the importance is to pay your debts. Okay, it says, Parsha Legabe Shomer Chinam. He tain isha reyu kesef okelim. You give somebody to your things to watch, and it was stolen from that person's house. It would not be beisa ish. So if you find the ganav again, he pays twice. If not, v'nikra balabais el halohim im lo shalach yadov im lachas reyu. So the simple pshat is that if he says what happens, the guy gave his friend to watch, and he's shomer chinam. He is not getting paid to watch, and then it gets stolen from him, stolen from his house. So what's the din? He said, come out the new, where's my thing? Sorry, it was stolen. So the din is, of a shomer chinam, he's a pater from Geneva. Geneva and Aveda, doesn't have to pay. So, however, he could say, no, I don't trust you, said it was stolen. How do I know it was stolen? So, v'nikra balabai say Elohim, the simple pshat Rashi says, Elohim here means the judges. You bring him to the Beis Din, and he has to swear that he didn't take it, and in fact it was stolen from him, he's not hiding it in his back closet. Okay. So the Maimur Mordechai says that, you know, imagine this guy was given this, you know, thing to watch, and doing the guy a favor. Here, watch, I'm going away, watch my silver, you know, jewelry for me. Can you? He says, no problem, and he puts it away for him, does him a nice tova. And what happens? His house gets robbed. Friend comes back from his trip and says, can I have my jewelry? He goes, so I feel terrible, but nice, you should feel terrible for me. My whole house got robbed, and I got lost everything. They stole all your jewelry also. So he goes, yeah, right, nothing doing. You know, what happened? He takes him to Beis Din, and he has to either pay or not. He has to swear, etc. So a person might think and say, you know, what do we need this for? Right? I did a guy a tova. You know, I watch it. I didn't get paid for a shomer chinam. What happened? He sleeps in the basement. Bad enough, you know, I had to have my house got robbed, and now he's his tine is on me. Should I be the basement? I have to swear. I have to swear yet, you know, or else I have to pay for it. What do I need that tzara for? Forget it. It's the last time I'm gonna, you know, wash something for somebody. You know, this shomer chinam. The guy told. So therefore, what does the pasuk say? Al pidrash. Don't say this. Why? Because when you krav balabais el Elohim im lo shalach yadom lechaz. Even if in fact you're innocent and you know you're a tzaddik, you didn't shalach yadom lechaz. You didn't steal his thing. And so it really was stolen from you. But if that's the case, don't worry because nikrav balabais el Elohim. Elohim, you could say, means Hashem, meaning that you'll get close to Hashem. If you did this and it was a tova, you did a chesed. You were emulating Hashem. Mahuru gomel chasidim, ata gomel chasidim. You were emulating Hashem. Don't worry. Nikrav balabais el Elohim. You'll get close to Hashem from doing what you did. Don't say, oh, what do I need it for? You don't need it for this world, but you'll get plenty of reward for schar for it in the next world. There's a maisa with Rav Yisrael Salant, Misalant, speaking about the Shomrim. So he once was visiting by someone, and there was a pouring rain outside, and he had to leave, he had to go to shul. So the balabai said, here, I have an umbrella, take my umbrella. He says, oh, thank you very much. He borrowed the guy's umbrella. So he took the umbrella, you know, walked to shul in the rain, and came to shul. And the people notice a very strange thing. This umbrella didn't leave his side. You know, most people, okay, you know, hang it up in the entrance, whatever. He took the umbrella in shul with him. He's walking around with it. He goes up to the bima with it. It didn't leave his side. He didn't put down the umbrella from the time he walked into the shul. So somebody asked him, what are you doing? So he said, well, I borrowed this umbrella. And I'm a shomer. So I have responsibilities. Shoah has the most responsibility. Right? So I have to keep my responsibility. I want to put it down. I'm responsible. Why did I give it to somebody? Because that's a shomer, shemasar l'shomer. And that's asu. No, a shomer is not allowed to give it to another shomer. So that's why I kept it with me the whole time. Okay. So the beautiful vort in the psukim. Yeah, it says in the pasuk about almana and yasam, widow and orphan. It says like v'ger lo sonev v'lo sichat senu ki gerim meisim meres mitzrayim, that you have to make sure not to afflict the ger. And then it continues kol almana v'yasam lo sanu. So you shouldn't also afflict the widow and the orphan. If you do afflict them, ki im toch yitzak elai, and then they cry out to me, shamo esh matzakato, I'm going to listen to their cries. So the obvious question is, what is all this double lashon over here? Very funny, right? It says im anesane, right? Ki im tzaok yitzak, shamo eshma. What is all the double lashon over here? So the Mordechai Manzatzal says like this. Says when a regular woman or a kid, you know, is oppressed by somebody, you know, whatever, someone steals the candy from the kid or whatever. So what's going to happen? The kid gets hurt, is hurt. You know, that's not fair. He took my candy, whatever. But then he goes home and he cries to his father and says, "Oh, but this guy stole my candy." Okay, he gets it off his back, you know, this off his chest, this, you know, feeling of discomfort, what this guy did. He cries to his father, okay, and it makes him feel better, you know, he gets you tell it over, it makes you feel better. So too, a woman, you know, somebody does something bad to her, so she go home and cry to her husband, makes her feel better. So that's why a regular woman, a regular child. However, a widow, once a person, a woman doesn't have a husband, and a child that doesn't have a father, so he has it doubly bad. He gets hurt from the actual thing you did to him, and he can't get it off his chest. He can't go and tell it to his father or this woman to her husband, because they don't have. So they're hurt doubly. Mamela, that's a double lashon. Right? It says that im anesane also, if you afflict them doubly, because when you afflict an alman and a yasam, it's a double affliction. It's the etzim thing you're doing bad, and they have nobody to cry to. Then what? Then they're going to cry, kim yitzaok yitzak. What's a double lashon? They're going to cry for themselves, and they're going to cry to me, says Hashem, because I put them in this matzav. They have nobody to cry to. So it's a double lashon, tzaok yitzak. And then Hashem says, and what am I going to do? Shamoa esh matzakoto. I'm going to double listen. I'm going to listen to their cry of how they're afflicted and to the other cry that they have, that they're crying, that they have nobody to cry to. I'm going to hear this this cry. Says Parsha of Halvav Lo, it says im kesef talveh esami, etc. Lo tiye lo kinoshe. So you can't pressure a person that you lent to, etc. So they once a Talmud of the Saba Minavardach, name of Avram Zalmanus. So he was asked the following question. He says, somebody asked him, is a person allowed to take a loan knowing that he has no money to pay back, but with the intent that Hashem Yazor, I trust he's going to choose it. I trust Hashem. I don't have money to pay back, but Hashem Yazor, Hashem will help. He'll give me the money to pay back when I need to pay it back. Is a person allowed to take a loan like that? Someone asked him. So he answered very simply. He says, look. He said, if we were to ask this guy, the lender, the same question, meaning, would you like to lend this guy money who doesn't have anything to pay you back at all, but he's trusting in Hashem that hopefully one day he'll be able to pay back. Would you like to lend some person like that? If the answer is, yeah, then fine. But if the person wouldn't be willing to lend you on those basis, those grounds that you're trusting in Hashem to pay back, then you have no right to borrow under those grounds. It says that the Lotzielo kinoshe, they're not allowed to pressure somebody that's that owes you money. There's a Maaser with Chaim Mibrisk. So once he lent somebody money, and the time came for the payback, and the person didn't pay him back. So he waited a little bit longer. Nothing. The guy didn't nothing. So time went on. 1 month, 2 months. So finally, one day he bumped into the guy, and he says, "Rebbe, I owed you this. I owe you all this money and stuff. And how come you didn't say anything? Did you forget?" So Briskarov said, "Did I forget?" He says, "Listen, you know where I live, right?" He says, "I live in the same street as you, right? I live here. You live a few houses down, and a few houses past you is the shul, right? Beis Medrash. So for the last few months, I've been walking around the whole neighborhood in a big circle just to get to shul. I didn't want to pass by your house lest you see me, and I didn't want to make you uncomfortable being over on Lo Tielo Kenoshe, and you're asking if I forgot about the loan? I've been making this trip every day around the block just to get to shul. I forgot about the loan." So there was Rav Yaakov Berlin. He was the father of Netziv. That he was very wealthy, and he had the nadin for his nedunya for his daughter, and he gave it to some rich guy in this other city to hold on to, until he needs it. But as it happened, the guy went bankrupt, and so his friends told Berlin. He said, "Listen, you gave this guy all his money to hang on to, and he went bankrupt. So we suggest that you go there and see what you can, maybe you can get save something, of your money, because the guy's gone bankrupt." So he says, "Okay," and he went to the city, and where the guy lived, and he came back. So they said, "No, did you get anything?" "No, nothing." "Nothing? Why didn't you get? You couldn't get anything?" He says, "Well, I went there, and I saw the guy's mamish poor. He mamish went bad. He had nothing to eat and things, so I can't ask him for anything. Lo tiyelo kenoshe." So I had to come back empty handed. Finally, it says, the pasuk. Ki sireh chamor sanacha rovetz tachat masao v'chadalta me'azov lo azov tazoimo. So we have the parsha of the animal, the chamor, that is has its weight and its the load that it's carrying, and it's crouching under the load. So you have to help him unload it, save the donkey. So once the Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, the Saba Mislobotka, was asked by an avreich, he said, he asked the avreich, "Do you help your wife for Shabbos, help prepare for Shabbos?" So he answered Rav Finkel, and he said, "Of course, Rabbi, of course I help my wife. Why? It's a Beferish Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. right? That the Amoraim used to prepare for Shabbos, right? Rav Safra used to remach reisha, and Rava would salt the fish, or the shibuta, and Rav Huna would madlik shragi, he would light the candles, and the Amoraim would do it. So of course I do it, Rebbe. So he said, I don't understand you. Right? Why are you quoting me in Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Tes? He says, "Fersha pasuk in Chumash." Says when you see the chamor that is crouching down because of the load, azov tazov, you have to help him. You're supposed to help a donkey with its load. Of course, you have to help your wife. What's the shavat? You're quoting me a pasuk. You're quoting me a Gemara and Shabbos. Okay. So at the Shem, we should be zoicha to help each other. We have to recha kamocha. In turn, Hashem should help us in our times and send us Mashiach Tzidkenu Mimhera V'Yameinu. Amen.